Nobody has it together. Did you know that today? There's not a single family in this room that has it together. Did you know that? Did you know that? Nobody, regardless if they look picture perfect or cookie cutter, nobody in this room has a perfect family. Everybody say amen to that one. Nobody does. Don't ever let the church people make you think there's something wrong with you to think if you don't have the perfect family, because there's no such thing. Actually, when we study and we look at the family, we know that the family has sometimes a lot of problems. Sometimes the family has a lot of dysfunction, has a lot of trouble, a lot of issues, believe it or not. We live in a day and age where it is actually sometimes hard to keep a family together. Did you guys know that? 40 to 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. Did you know that? 40 to 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. Even today, it's also hard to provide for families. I mean, you know, when kids want the latest stuff, the coolest stuff, the newest shoes, the nicest clothes, and all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, somebody's got to pay for it. And then, you know, all your kids are coming home from school, and they're like, well, little Johnny's got this, and little Bobby's got that, little Sally's got that, and that sort of thing. And mama, where's mine? And, you know, you get that pressure on you and you start feeling like, well, am I letting my kids down? Am I giving them a subpar living or something like that? Which, by the way, you're not, all right? You're not. They don't need everything. Amen. They don't need everything. And we worry about our kids. Will they be safe? Will they grow up? Will they have the right stuff together? Will they develop correctly? You know, I mean, it's like when you bring that new baby home from the hospital, all you do after you start rejoicing, you start just freaking out all the time. You're staring at the crib, making sure they're breathing, right? Anybody do that? They're breathing. Somehow we have survived, you know, throughout the entire history of the earth without people watching our breathing all the time, you know, but that happens. And we think about divorce, we think about struggles, we think about financial issues, all this stuff that just attacks the family. I mean, just rips at the family. I remember growing up, and I remember watching TGIF. Any TGIF memories in the house? TGIF was this amazing block of amazing sitcoms in the 90s. Anybody else remember that? I mean, you're talking Step by Step, right? You're talking Family Matters. And you're talking about not Fuller House, but what? Full House. What I loved about TGIF, and even the dinosaurs that came later, remember them? And what I loved about TGIF was this, was that you had a 30-minute time frame, and it'd be good. Then a problem would arise. And somehow, within these families on television, at the end of 30 minutes, what happened? It was resolved. So if Urkel busted in through the roof with like some sort of jetpack or something, you know, within 30 minutes, that family crisis was solved. Within 30 minutes. Wouldn't that be great if family was like that today? That when we had a problem, we just looked at the clock and we say, man, in 30 minutes, our family will be fixed. In 30 minutes. If I can just wait for 30 minutes, it'll all be okay. Well, it ain't much of a news flash, but guess what? You're not living in TGIF. Did you know that? You're not living in a 90s sitcom. But today, we begin a series entitled Hope for the Family. Can we say that together on the count of three? Because I just want you to know that it's real. You ready? One, two, three. Hope for the family. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how there really is hope for families that are struggling, families that are fighting to survive, families that are doing their best to just hold it together, holding marriages together, kids together, just trying their best. That's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're just going to talk about hope for the family. We're going to talk about how God wants to restore families. He wants us to get over past mistakes that we've made and find grace. And we want God to know that we can have a family within Him. And that's what this whole series is about. That's why we're doing Friend and Family Day, to help us to understand today that if you were invited today, if you're one of our guests, man, we want you to know that Life Community Church is a place that cares for the family. We care about the family, and we care for your family. And we want you to know that there's somebody here called Life Community Church that's pointing you in the right direction, and that is to Jesus, who can give you hope for the family. But some of you guys today, as you're sitting here today, you say, man, Kenny, I am in the wrong place today to talk about family. Man, I am the absolute, you're going to start this series about family, and you're going to start this series about putting families together and piecing them together and making sure there's hope for the family. But you don't understand, I don't have a family. My family has already been busted. It's already been broken. You don't understand, Kenny. You're talking about hope for the family. Mine's already disintegrated. It's already gone. I've had people desert me. I've had people pass away. I've had people abuse me. I've had people, I have moved away. I've moved away from my family. Or, Kenny, I'm a young adult. I'm out of my own. I'm doing this and that. And I've not started a family yet. How in the world can you tell me that there's hope for the family when my family's already been blown to pieces? Now, some of you all feel that way today. You say, hope for the family. Man, where were you last year? You know, doing hope for the family. Where were you 3 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago? Some of you all are feeling, man, I'm hopeless today. See, I want a family. I want acceptance and love, but from who? I want to experience life and fun and joy with a group of people, but who? Kenny, how can I have a family when I have been through divorce? I've lost my kids. It's all been shattered. I got a glimpse of family, and then boom, it's gone. How can I have a family? Today, I want to talk to you today that everybody in here can have a family today. Regardless of what you've been through, you can have a family today. I want you to take your Bibles, open it up to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. We got your sermon notes there. You can follow along with that. But let me give you some background. The book of Genesis is all about origins. It's all about how the stuff got started. And you see God speaking the world into existence. You see Him making Adam and Eve, and they sin against God, and sin is brought into the world, and everything kind of goes haywire. It gets so haywire, God floods the earth, and then He kind of restarts it. He reboots the earth, kind of. And He redoes that with the family of who? Remind me, the family of Noah. And then Noah's got three boys. And one of those boys is named Shem. And it's through these three boys, they're going to have several, many, many kids. And they're going to repopulate the earth. But Shem and his family, they're going to give birth a line of people that's going to come a guy named Abraham from. And Abraham's father, his name was Terah, and he was probably, from what the Bible says, a polytheist. He believed in many, many gods. And Abraham probably grew up in an environment that wasn't just Yahweh, the God of the Bible. He grew up in an environment where there was multiple gods. But God speaks to Abraham one day, and He says, Abraham, I want you to leave your family in Ur. And Ur would have been somewhere around modern day Iraq. And He said, I want you to leave Iraq. And He says, and I want you to go up to a different land that I'm going to show you. And I want you to go. And he hiked, and he took his wife Sarah, he took his nephew Lot, and they just started hiking. And by the way, he was 75 years old when he started his journey. So now some of you guys say, Kenny, I'm just too old to do anything around here. Abraham's journey didn't start till he was 75. Amen or oh me on that today. So guess what? I don't care how old you are. Abraham's journey got started at 75. God can still use you. Did you know that? He can still use you today. Even if you're 75. And we just wait till how this story progresses. You're going to get a good laugh out of it, all right? But he goes and he walks into this land. And it's this beautiful land. It's not like the deserty Iraq that he was living in. It's this beautiful land with grass and trees, and it was just good. It was a good place. And God said, Abe, I'm going to give you all of this, every bit of it. And Abraham's like, well, first off, I'm an old guy. And second, you know, there's people already living here. You know, how are you going to give me something that people are already living here? And God blesses Abraham. Him and Sarah, they begin to become like squatters in the land. They're just living in tents and that sort of thing. But boy, are they blessed. I mean, their flocks and herds are growing, and God's just blessed them. And God keeps showing up to Abraham. He actually does this covenant with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I promise you, Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. You are going to give birth to an entire nation. You're going to do it, Abraham. You're going to give birth to an entire nation, and you're going to own this. And the time keeps going. The clock keeps ticking. And there's no kids. Abraham gets a little nervous. He gets a little antsy. You ever been antsy before? And he tries to make the promise of God happen. And he takes this slave girl, and he gets with her, and they have a baby. He says, well, here's my heir. And God says, that ain't the baby I want to do this with. I don't want to do it with Ishmael. I want it to be special. So here's Abraham, and he's living in this land. He's a squatter. And he doesn't have the child that God's promised him. And he's getting older. Now he's 90 years old. He's 90. And I want us to look at chapter 18, verse 1. This man, I'm sorry, Sarah's 90. He's 99. Forgive me. He's 99. He's 99 years old. He's sitting there. He doesn't have the land yet, okay? He doesn't have the promised baby yet. And then look what happens. Then the Lord appeared in 18 verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heating of the day. Just a squatter, just out there in the land, all right? And he looked up and he saw three men standing near him. One of those was the Lord in human form, and the other two were angels. And when he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, and he bowed to the ground. The Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in a year's time. Jumping down to verse 10. And in verse 10, it says this. They do kind of a hospitality type thing. And then in verse 10, jump down. The Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time. And your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Isn't that interesting? Abraham, you're 99. You're going to have a baby, but you still have to wait a little bit longer. A little bit longer. Now, Sarah was listening on the other side of the tent. I mean, she was just right there. I mean, just cloth separating her from the Lord and Abraham. Just a cloth separating them. And Abraham was, and Sarah was listening. And then verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were getting old on in the years. You think? 90 and 99? Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. You think? So she laughed to herself. She laughed. And look what she says. And if you're an adult in this room, you can read between the lines, all right? After I have become shriveled up and my Lord is old, speaking of Abraham, will I have delight? Now, some of y'all are in church and you've been conditioned not to laugh at stuff like that. But can I tell you something? That's funny, okay? I'm 90 years old and I'll have delight. That's what the Bible says, all right? Yeah, y'all laughing. She was laughing too, all right? So she laughed to herself. I've become shriveled up. And then the Lord, just on the other side of the tent, and the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I'm old? And don't you love this verse, verse 14? Is anything impossible for the Lord? Isn't that a great verse? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in about a year, she will have a son. And then Sarah denied it. I didn't laugh, she said, because she was afraid. But Abraham said, no, you did too laugh. I was on that other side of that tent. You were laughing, and here I am talking to the Lord, and you're laughing at the Lord. And he's telling you, Abe, you're going to have a baby. And but just think, they've waited for so long. They didn't start the journey till they were 75. And then they've got to wait for the promised land. They're still squatters. The baby's coming. They try to make it happen with the slave girl, and it's just a whole failure. The whole thing's a mess. And then when the promised child comes, God says, hey, it's coming, but it's still going to be a year. It's kind of funny. But what I see, and you know the rest of the story, she does have the baby, by the way. But here's what's really cool, is that even somebody that you would think was completely hopeless, like Sarah and Abraham in their elderly age, to have a child, guess what? They get a child. Because with the Lord, anything is possible. Meaning that even today, if you're here and you say, Kenny, I don't have a family. I ain't never going to have a family. I ain't no family person. You just leave me alone. I'm telling you right now, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Some of you all that feel like your family is busted, broke down, and does not have a hope, listen, I'm telling you, God can put you in a family. And God can bless your family. God can do a great work. Here's the key. You ready? God has a family for everyone. God has a family for everyone. That means you and you and you and you and you, everyone. Everyone in this room, God has a family for. I want you to see three particular things about, especially those that feel that you're not family material, especially for those that feel that you'll never have a family, okay? First is this, is that God has a family for the uncommon, the uncommon. 18:1, it says the Lord appeared to Abraham while he was just sitting there. Abraham was no common guy. He was called out at the age of 75. He went out. He was promised. The Abraham covenant was that he would become a great nation at 75 when you don't have kids? Really? This is going to happen now? God, why? And he was elderly. He was not young. He was wealthy. Abraham was very, very wealthy. And the longer he lived as a squatter, the more he acquired, his wealth grew. But this was no family guy. I mean, this is him and his wife grew up. They were like the good uncle and aunt that didn't have any kids. Anybody in here ever have an uncle or aunt that didn't have kids? If you did, you were blessed, weren't you? Because when Christmas time rolled around, what? They treated you just like their kid, right? And that's what they did with Lot. And now, and that Lot was their nephew. Lot we get, but we don't have a family. And yet it was so uncommon. When our first child was born, we were the common family. What I mean by that? Well, first-time parents, we did all the safety proofing in the house, all the, you know, the stroller's got to be this way, the car seat. We took it down to the hospital, and they had to check in and all that stuff. We wanted them to do everything, and we did all the classes. Did you do all the classes? Anybody do the classes? When Hope came, we did some of that, then Joyce said, oh, we got this, you know? So, it's just different with kid number three. It's just different, okay? But number one, you've got like, you know, what to expect when you're expecting. And you've got, you know, how to make sure your house doesn't explode in nuclear fire with an infant in the house, you know? And you've got all this stuff. And we were in that class with other common parents, you know, very OCD, very particular. Everywhere you turn, the hand sanitizer is everywhere, you know? And you got all that stuff, and they're all freaking out. But I remember there was one young lady in our class. And she was not common in that class. Almost everybody in that room was a married couple, young, with a career. But this one girl was a teenager, probably about 14, 15 years old, and she was pregnant, and she was expecting a child. And I remember very clearly some of the stuff that we were laughing at and kidding around with when we were watching the videos. We would joke and stuff. That little girl was crying. Stuff that the married couples were just laughing and kidding around about. She was crying. I'll never forget as long as I live. She was in tears. And she must have felt that she was such an oddball. She must have felt like she was just such outside of the circle. I don't know who that young lady is. I couldn't recognize her today if I saw her. But you know, I want to make a prediction, and I'm no prophet. I don't know what happened. But I bet you, and I'm a Baptist, so I don't gamble, but I still bet you, all right? I bet you when she saw that little baby, and that little baby saw her, you know what? I bet you she loved that little baby. And I bet you that little baby loved her. And regardless of how uncommon and how she didn't plan for that to happen or whatnot, that was still a precious life that deserved to live on the face of earth. And you know what? And that little baby, when she came into the world, I hope and pray, and I think she did, because she was in that class trying her best to do it. I think that little baby had a loving mama when she came into the world. And I want you to know that even if you think everything is busted, everything is outside the norm, everything is inside out, upside down, I want you to know if it's backwards, broken, upside down, whatever, if it's all been busted, if everything did not work out, and you simply say, Kenny, I don't belong in a family. I'm the uncommon one. Things did not turn out like TGIF. I'm the uncommon one. I want you to know that God has a spiritual family for you. That's full of a bunch of uncommon people. And that God's family is full of some of the people that you never, ever, ever would think would be part of it. I'm talking about everybody from murderers that have accepted Jesus and been saved and by God's grace to people that were just the lowliest of the lows and God brought them up high. I mean, that is the joy of Jesus. And if a person accepts Christ and believes in Jesus, you know what's cool? Not only do they have their sins forgiven and heaven is home, God does something cool. You ready? He puts them in a spiritual family. Some of you all think that church is like this thing we go to. It's this steeple that we go under. It's like a show, a production, an organization. It is not. The church is not an organism. It is. The church is not an organization. It is an organism. It's real people connected to each other. And that's why we need the church. And God gives us this spiritual family. So today, if you think everything's busted and broken in it and I don't belong, understand God's family is for those that don't belong. Today, if you've been called a loser, a weirdo, a failure, listen to me. God's family says, come on. Come on. We got room for you. So today, I'm the uncommon family person, but in God's family, he welcomes you in. Second, God has a family for the unlikely. Look in verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. No, duh. You know what I mean? 90 and 99? Yeah. It's over, okay? It ain't gonna happen, all right? Sarah never could have children. The Bible seems to indicate that she wanted children. It seems that when you read the rest of the story, she really wanted kids. She probably lived her whole life wanting kids, her whole life wanting babies, and she never was able to have children. And then at God, so God, you're telling me, come on. I've waited this whole life. I got over the disappointment. I resigned to the disappointment, and I just accepted that it was never going to happen. And now you're telling me at 90 years old, I'm going to have a baby. So at 90 years old and Abraham at 99, we should be dying on some golf course down in Florida somewhere, you know? You're telling me that Abraham is going to have to install the state-of-the-art car seat on a camel. And you're telling me that I'm going to have to go to Babies R Us in Egypt. I mean, come on. This doesn't happen. I'm not going to nurse a baby at 90 years old. Abraham's not going to be saying, peek-a-boo. He's not going to do that. I mean, he's not going to do that. This isn't what's going to happen. It's over. The end. I've given up hope. Some of you guys are the uncommon ones. It's broken. I want a family, but I don't belong in one. Then there's these other bunch, the unlikelies, where you've already said it's over. I mean, you've already hit the over button. I mean, you've already, I mean, it's over. And And there's real reasons for that. Infertility, divorce, death, distance. And those are situations that maybe you did not cause, you did not bring upon yourself. Maybe there were some situations that led to a lack of family that you did cause, but not every situation you caused. That's the byproduct of living just in a broken world. Amen? That's the byproduct of living in a world that's messed up, is that things don't turn out the way they should. And now you are just, this is what you say. I'm going to die alone. I will never be accepted. I will never be loved. It is absolutely impossible for me to be a family person. Absolutely. But yet he chooses unlikely Abe and unlikely Sarah to start a family. A great family, which we're going to get to why this is such a great family here in a few minutes. But he chooses them. See, he's doing something special with them. You know what's cool? If today you've already said, my family's doomed, the end, it's over, you are actually in a really good spot to work with, because God specializes in the impossibility. It's when we start saying, I got this, I can control this, I can fix this, that's when it doesn't work. Y'all know that, right? It's until we get to the point to say, no, I don't have this, I need some help. That's when God can do it. See, the unlikely today, that's who God wants to use. He wants to put the unlikely in a spiritual family. And you know what? Truth is, you may never have a child. That's the truth. And that's hard. But oh, how the Lord can use unlikely you to adopt, to foster, to help. Amen? Oh, how the Lord can do that in your life. And oh, how the Lord can take somebody that has no children, no family, nothing, and then put them in kids' ministry, and they become the greatest children's minister in the world. I've met people before that said, Kenny, I don't have any biological children, but when I go down to the church, I got 50 spiritual children that I'm working with. And you want to know something? If you find yourself today without a family, you go down there in that kids' ministry, and I guarantee you get all the family you want. Well, Kenny, I don't want to wipe butts, wipe noses, none of that stuff. Well, what do you think family's going to be like? I mean, seriously. You don't get through raising kids without wiping some butts and some noses. I mean, is it just my family that has to do that? You know? Hey, if you find yourself the unlikely candidate for family, good news, God wants to put you in a family. And he wants to put you with other people. Number three, God has a family, and this is the important one, for the unbelieving. The unbelieving. Again, you look down at verse 12 and on, the Lord's talking to him. He hears Sarah laughing. And then the Lord says, Abe, is anything impossible for me? Is anything impossible? I mean, God has taken a human form talking to Abraham to his face. And he's looking right at Abraham and he says, Abe, is anything impossible? She laughed. She laughed. But now, come on. Come on. I don't want any lady to reveal their age in here today. All right? But let's say this. If you consider yourself a senior saint today, you like my wording there, you know? If you consider yourself a senior saint today, what would you do if God came to you and said, you're going to have a baby next year? What would you do? I can tell you what you'd do. You'd laugh. Exactly what Sarah did. And the Lord says, you don't get it, Abe. You're not believing. But I'm going to make a believer out of you. I'm going to make a believer out of you. Some of you all are thinking, you've been laughing this entire sermon. Kenny, you don't know my past, my marriages, my failures, my kids, etc., all of this. It's all blown up. It's all been crazy. I ain't no family person. It just ain't going to happen. And you're sitting there thinking, this is not for me. And God is saying, no, nothing's impossible. What's really, really cool, in the Hebrew, the word impossible is translated multiple ways. One of those ways is the word hard or difficult. But I think, and all the commentaries agree on this, which is so cool, it's also the word wonderful. Is anything, you ready for this, too wonderful for the Lord? You ready? When Abraham and Sarah had their baby, it was not just some big cosmic joke. Are you ready? It was wonderful. And when we come to Jesus and we have faith in Christ and God puts us in a family, a spiritual family, the church, can I tell you something? That's wonderful. Amen. I want you to hear today from a family that experienced exactly what we're talking about, a wonderful family. This is Megan and Jesse Payne. Welcome them.
Anything is possible. I mean, God and Kenny's got us up here talking in front of y'all today, and that's something big for us. And I know why now, because we're not perfect by any means. And that's why he also recommended we write it down so we don't get it messed up. But we're Megan and Jesse. We've been married for going on 7 years now, and we got two wonderful kids. We've been members of Life Community Church and Christians for almost 2 years now. We are young in our faith, and we grew up in families where Jesus was not always the center of our lives. I grew up attending both Catholic and Baptist churches. I was baptized as a child with my mom at Parish Avenue Baptist Church, but my baptism was more about following other people instead of following Jesus. Megan went to Sunday school with her friends, but always said that she felt closer to God in the middle of the woods all by herself than sitting in a church pew on Sunday mornings. But God had a big plan for us, and that plan included being here right now, sharing our testimony with all of you about why we needed him and his family, and why you do too. Short story is, 4 years ago, I coached my son Phoenix's soccer team that included a little girl whose dad happened to be this goofy kid that graduated with Megan. Needless to say, that was Kenny Rager, who was just starting Life Community Church at the time. He gave us a connection card asking us to come visit. We told him we would come visit, knowing good and well that we had no intention of attending a church anywhere, ever. However, 2 years later, I felt like I was missing something in my life, thanks to a friend at work who was continually talking about how God and his new church was changing him, which led me to start reading my Bible on a daily basis. Shortly after that, I felt the need for something even more. So we went to visit that friend's church. But after a few Sundays of visiting that church, we knew that we weren't making connection there with them. So we decided we'd try another church. That's when Megan remembered that she had a connection card from the 2 years prior that Kenny had given her. Before deciding to visit Life Community, we were out on a walk on the Greenbelt discussing the importance of going to church and if we really thought it was necessary. Wasn't believing and praying enough, we thought. We had no answers, but God sent them to us through Kenny's sermon the following Sunday on our first visit. Not to mention that we felt God's love from everyone that first moment we entered the doors that day. There are no coincidences in life. All these little steps have added up to be part of God's big plan for our life. As Kenny preached that day over Acts 2, the birth of the church, he talked about some who believed that the church didn't have to be a part of a believer's life. But in doing so, they're not following the scriptures, which said they devoted themselves to the teachings of God's word. They became disciples. They were part of a group. They were in fellowship. They broke bread and prayed. They worshiped together. They distributed to the needy. They ministered to the people. They saw people saved daily. They were evangelizing, which we all call the Big Five here, the purpose of the local church. And as believers, we are called to be a part of the local church and through the power of the Holy Spirit, be active in all aspects of the Big Five: discipleship, fellowship, worship, ministry, and evangelism. Hearing all this, we knew God had sent us to LCC. We went through 101 class where we both officially became followers of Jesus and found our salvation in him. We were baptized in front of our family and friends. From that point forward, our lives changed completely. Now it's been 2 years since that sermon was preached in the old CTC theater. In the past few weeks, we've talked several times with our small group about how gaining a church family has opened up doors for us to fulfill our purpose that God has planned for us. Kenny felt led to ask us to give a testimony over during his sermon today, and here we are in front of you talking about how our church family has changed our lives forever.
I forgot my paper, so I'm going to use yours. So we're that family that was on the video at the beginning. We're lucky to get here with Phoenix and shoes and the right shoes on our feet every day. And our closest friends here know that. So I was cracking up. So, and here we are talking in front of you. But we had always had love and kids. Our parents loved us. They still love us. They support us. And my parents are here today. We had jobs, a house, and good friends. But we also had a big hole right in the middle of all that we had never noticed before. We tried to fill that big hole with stuff like TV and clothes and vacations, cars, food, good times, UK basketball, but nothing fit. We'd fill that big hole up with something, and then it would empty right back out again. It was a Jesus-shaped hole, and he was the only thing that could fill it up and mend it. Jesus changed our whole network, our entire network, everything that we do. Groundhog days of only working, eating, and sleeping were dead. And we were born again into serving, fellowshipping, praying, studying, and loving. We needed his family to fill that hole we never even realized we had. Kenny mentioned today that when you let God into your life, you receive a wonderful family, and it's true. A lot of people think you have to really be hurting to go looking for Jesus, that you have to be struggling with addiction or illness or a loss of a loved one or something horribly tragic that just brings you to rock bottom. It's true that people that are hurting like that need Jesus, but we also need to remember that all of us need Jesus and the family he gives us. Jesse and I have had our struggles, but we found Jesus when we didn't even know we were missing him. He gave us a relationship with our Father. He showed Jesse how to lead our family spiritually like a real man should, and he gave us brothers and sisters in Christ who pray for us and with us, who serve alongside us, who have helped guide us to be better Christians and grow in our faith, who love us and who share our burdens and our blessings. We go on mission trips, we go to conferences, we work in the community with our church family. And when our son had his tonsils out, they showed up at our door with food and treats for all of us out of nowhere. I recently had a scare thinking that I possibly could have thyroid cancer, and our church prayed over me, laid hands on me and prayed over me. And I don't have cancer, thank God. And we're so grateful for that. Our church family offers to help us with our kids when we're sick, bring us food when we're overwhelmed, and listen and pray for us when we are down. Now, I've had the same best friend since fourth grade. We're like sisters and I love her dearly. We do anything for one another and we support each other through all sorts of things. But I can honestly say that in the 2 short years that we've been Christians and attending Life Community Church, I've grown friendships, and Jesse has too, friendships, trust, and love with people in this church that can compete with that lifelong friendship that I've had with my friends since fourth grade. Our church family has helped us find our purpose in life, holds us accountable in our promises to serve God and to share his word. And we're so grateful, and we give God all the glory for planting all these little seeds along our path over the years that have grown into us becoming a part of his family. We urge you, even if you think you're living big, that you've got it perfect and everything's fine and dandy, take a look at your own lives and see if there's a hole you never noticed before. And if you find it, you're missing his family too.
You're going to have a baby. You're going to be a family when you thought you never would. You go to chapter 21, and the Bible says that the Lord came to Sarah, as he had said, And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant. Wow. And bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the appointed time, God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Isaac was his name. And when his son was 8 years old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded him, which is really scary that a 99-year-old man is doing that, by the way. But Abraham was 100 at that time. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now listen to this. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And everyone who hears will laugh with me. Who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in my old age. Isaac would go on to have children of his own, who would have children of their own. And they would multiply and multiply and multiply. Abraham never got to see the great nation. Never did. He died as a squatter. Sarah died as a squatter. They never did get to see it. But it was nevertheless true. And that nation of people eventually did conquer that land. And that land today is what we call what? The nation of Israel. And it would be several thousands of years later that another miraculous baby would be born in Bethlehem from that group of Israelites. And this would be a miracle baby too, but even more of a miracle than Abraham and Sarah's baby, because this baby would be born to a virgin. And this baby would be God in flesh. And this baby would grow up to be the sacrifice for all of us, and his name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for our sins, he paid for our sins. And today, if we accept Jesus by faith and grace and trust, we are forgiven because he paid the ultimate price for us. We are forgiven. And just like Megan and Jesse shared with us, God forgives you of your sins when you turn to faith in Jesus. But he also puts you within the family of everybody else that has trusted in Jesus Christ. Hope for the family begins. It begins by having faith in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for what you've done today, for the testimony of Megan and Jesse, and Lord, how I pray, God, that you spoke through them, Lord, that you touched hearts, Lord, through their testimony today. And God, knowing that the only way we can ever have that Jesus-sized hole, as Megan said, filled, is by just simply turning to Jesus. The way that we have hope for our family is by turning to Jesus. And Lord, today, I pray that people would listen to the knock on their heart, God, the knock of Jesus wanting to come in, the pull of the Holy Spirit that's upon them, and that they would accept Christ as their Savior. We praise you for all that you do. Thank you for family. Thank you for the Christian family that's open to everybody that would believe. We pray in your name. Amen. We invite you to stand. This is our response time where we sing back to God. If the sermon touched you, you can come and pray with one of our deacons. I would like to pray with you. Maybe today you would like to fill that God-shaped hole. And you want to come and say, Kenny, Mark, Daniel, Carl, I need Jesus in that hole in my heart. I need that spiritual family. I need Christ in my life. You're welcome to come and pray as we sing.